numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We always appreciate it. Always appreciate you allowing us to be part of your weekday mornings. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D corner of floor number two at the D, where folks come up to us all the time. It's always great. There's a dude on a scooter here. We're curious if he had an Achilles injury. And I was saying to Kelly off air, I was like, this guy has no idea what conversation he's in for if I approach him. The dread.
Our audience, too.
The dread, exactly. The dread of me talking about Achilles injuries. This guy, hey, is that an Achilles? What are you doing the next 30 minutes of your life? Let's talk about it.
Where did he scoot away to? He scooted away pretty quick.
He's very mobile. That scooter will do.
He's been hanging. He's been studying. He was studying the college basketball card, I think, for today. By the way, the Sphere has ruined music for me, by the way.
Like, because we just played U2.
Yeah, like, when U2 comes on now, whenever I hear it randomly, I'm like, oh, great song. And I'm like, wait, this is U2. Wait, I never really liked U2 that much before I went to see them at the Sphere. Now I hear a song by them, and I'm like, oh, this is a great band.
See, we're always curious what lands on folks when we talk about it. And I've been making the Jardians joke for a long time now. Doug Wedge on the new Jardians goes, she stinks. Enough with the dancing, too. And Steve Fezzik.
You know the part I don't like about it? It's the, again, commercial review podcast coming soon, okay? That's good. We're starting that up, Gil. We're starting that up. The part I hate about it is when she drops off the bagged lunches.
Oh, I got a worse part.
And they all are like, this isn't mine.
No, I got a worse part. I don't know why they decided, both the new 2.0 and the old Jardians, they dance, and then they have the awkward smiles, and they stop dancing in the middle. It's the weirdest thing in the world. Anyway, Steve Fezzik, the great Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, he has texted me, I'm not even kidding you, about Jardians. He said, I still believe there's a... Oh, no, he goes, what is Todd's A1C level? He says, can we get him that Jardians drug to kill his appetite? That actress is not my favorite. Jeez. Okay. Sports Pick Magic. Decided to meet the OT conundrum head-on. Had Stony Brook plus 10. Looked like I was getting away. Looked like it was getting away, but they kept hitting big shots. It was a lock, but then OT. So I took Charleston money line in case Stony Brook ran out of gas, middled it. Pure luck. I'll take it. There you go, Sports Big Magic. We like stories like that. That's a very relatable in-game situation. Mike Zill's Duke 90. If you could take kids to a cheap outing with a low-level college basketball game, probably even high school, they think they're watching Duke or the Lakers, talking about Will taking his kids to Fairfield.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. You know, Dollar Loan Center. What is it, West Coast Conference this week? That's what I was just checking out.
No, West Coast Conference is Orleans. Dollar Loan Center, best arena in town.
It really is.
4,000 people, yeah. 4,000 capacity, perfect size for a basketball venue. You and I, for the rest of our lives, will see the first time we saw Victor Wembanyama in the flesh.
That's right.
Was watching him at the Dollar Loan Center Arena in Henderson.
It was
in
awesome.
Front of, it, by the way, it's seats 4,000. How many people do you think were at that game where we watched Scoot going up against Wembanyama?
800 people.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The best part was I got to watch like a half of it alongside Ben Wilson, who walks around that place. Like, I mean, he's a golden god there. Like that is like he built the arena. The voice of Ben Wilson built the arena.
Ben Wilson is Paul McCartney in that.
I don't even know what all he calls. He calls G League out of there. Arena Football, I believe, is out of there. He basically lives there.
Ben Wilson, who will be more famous, as I've said many times, than all of us put together when all is said and done here at VSiN.
It was so funny when he was filling in when you were out, man. It was. The audience, as nice as they could be, was like, it's great to have Ben filling in. Where's the baseball talk, though? Where's the college baseball talk?
I anointed him college baseball expert. He does college baseball games. By the way, every once in a while, it'll come up on Twitter. Someone will post a Ben Wilson.
He's fantastic. A&M home run call was going viral like a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
That kid's a regular Noah Eagle is what he is.
So great to work with, dude.
Awesome. Great kid. All right. Kelly, fifth major, de facto fifth major in golf. It's the PGA Tours tournament, if you will. Their major, quote unquote. It's the tournament. It's the Players' Championship. It used to be called the Tournament Players' Championship back in the day. It is now called the Players' Championship, with the iconic 17th hole at TPC Sawgrass, the island hole, if you will. You were talking off air first before you get into your bets. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Look at that gorgeous thing.
Wouldn't you like to be there this week?
Oh, man, is that beautiful. This March is so great. Do I go to Indian Wells? Do I go to spring training? I don't know. How about TPC Sawgrass?
It's wild.
So great.
It's a little different. Now they've switched it from May to March. The weather can be a little bit more dodgy. You know, you are in North Florida, so it can get a little cold still this time of year. You know, when they had it in May, this is going back about 5 years now when they switched it. When they had it in May, it was gorgeous. I mean, you know, you'd be mid-80s every day, maybe a little bit more rain. You've had all these things change, though. You move it just 2 months. They didn't really think it was going to be a big deal, but now it's affected what grass they can use. The winds are in different directions. So what you've seen, actually, the trend since they've switched it to May, which was 5 years ago, I believe, what you've seen is a bunch more short shots started to win here. A lot of the more quality players on tour, because it's the highest variance tournament you're going to get of the season. Oh,
this is the best point. While the Masters is the most predictive in terms of course,
this would be the least predictive.
This is the least predictive.
Least predictive, and not necessarily because what the course plays like, but it's because there's water involved on 16 holes. So you have a... Look at this. Right. Every single hole has at least an 8% birdie or better rate and an 8% bogey or worse rate.
That'll do it.
Yeah. So I think when you're approaching, just from a betting standpoint, you got to keep that stuff in mind when you're approaching this week. This is not a tournament, Gil, that I will sink as much money into the finishing position markets or even head-to-heads. And when we get to my plays, you'll see those. But it's just dial back how much money you're spending in those markets this week, because things can so rapidly change because of the water, right? And sometimes that means good, right? Maybe that means you've got a top 20 bet in, and you got a guy who's hanging 25th-ish, and he's got a few guys in front of him that go in the water on Sunday, and your guy automatically jumps into the top 20. I get more scared of it thinking the opposite way, though. If my guy's inside the top 20, hits one in the water and falls out. So I think you want to tread a little lightly with that this week. As far as if you are handicapping this at home, off the tee stuff, you can basically throw out the window. As long as your guy can hit it in the fairway, you're looking for guys that are accurate off the tee. But they got to have cojones at this course. It's, you know, 17th is a perfect example. There is nowhere to bail out on that hole. You got to go for the pin, and you got to put it as close as possible. So off the tee this week, really just looking for guys who can keep it straight, looking for fairways, setting up those second shots on approach. Everything else, though, this is really a test of the rest of the golf game here. Approach is going to be important. Around the green and scrambling is always important. You get a lot of bunkers here, 92, so sand will come into play. And then putting always important, but the green surface about as perfect as it gets now with this POA they've been playing in March. You get a lot of guys talking about how they love putting on this course. As far as guys that I looked at this week, starting on the outright card. So with the high variance, Gil, this also leaves me to playing some longer shots and just a little bit more sprinkles on some guys. And if we take my plays here, actually, two guys that you've probably heard me mention multiple times as you're playing in finishing position markets would be Tom Hoge and Doug Gim. These aren't big outright bets, obviously, but with how volatile this course can be and how the scores can change, I think it's worth sprinkling a little bit on the outrights this week. So outrights for me, Xander Schauffele, Shane Lowry, Tom Hoge, Doug Gim, Keith Mitchell. Going to save probably one bullet to add live in this tournament as well. JT, Corey Connors, very close to making the card for me, but I did leave off. Xander, he sets up perfectly for this, Gil. It's just, can this dude win? It's been top 10 finishes all season.
Can this dude win? Yeah, it's always the question with
him. It really is. He really is. He's been so consistent this whole year. Top 10 finishes left and right. He's been awesome. T25 at the API, but other than that, it's been T3 Genesis, T9 at Farmers, T3 at the Amex, T10 at the Century. It was 19th here last year. Again, it's not very predictive, though, course history. Played an outright on him, played a top 20 on him. Again, the top 20 is a little bit less than what I'd normally play this week, except for Hoge and Gim. That's where I went heavier in with them, sprinkled on with the outrights on them. Shane Lowry, he's been tearing it up in Florida. This is really just riding the hot hand with Shane Lowry. He has finished third a week ago, T4 2 weeks ago at the Cognizant Classic. So ever since he's got back home to Florida, really playing well, was T35, T13, and 8th here the last 3 years. Tom Hoagie, Will Hill's guy, top three model play for me this week. His irons have just been dialed in. Recently, T12 the API, T28 the Cognizant, 8th at the Genesis, T17 at Phoenix, T6 at Pebble. Great finishes at this tournament in the past, T3 here last year. So riding the hot hand there with an outright and a top 20 on him. Also got a matchup over Brendan Todd. And then Doug Gimp, four straight top 20 plays. This guy has cost me a lot of money in years past, Gil. It's paying off now, though. These top 20s have been hitting for him fairly regularly. Plus 350. You can find over 3-1 on Doug Gimp this week. Love that bet. Also sprinkled a little bit on an outright on him. Keith Mitchell, then, is my one long bomb. I just played an outright on 125-1. Matchup, Shoffley over Cantlay. Don't like Cantlay's game right now. Xander coming in really sharp. Hoagie over Brendan Todd. Doug Gimp over Andrew Putnam. And then the bet we've talked about a lot before, Gil. I've bet it three straight tournaments with him now. I'm not stopping anytime soon.
Got to.
Scottie Scheffler, top 10.
Putter's good, right? Putter's working.
The putter was working last week, and that's good. That is terrifying everybody on tour right
this,
now.
This tournament, though, must create modeling difficulty, right? Like, it's just as you're even doing the model, you're probably like, oh.
So it's really funny. Check out Long Shots. Full of this.
It's called Long Shots.
We go an hour and 10 minutes, I think it was, this week. Lots of breakdown of this course. Myself, Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds. Need to check that out. We talk about all of this stuff. But, man, the putter going with Scottie Scheffler, it's a scary, scary thought, man.
Should be fun. Long Shots, again, available at VSiN.com/podcast, wherever podcasts are distributed. We're coming back. We do this every once in a while on the show. I'd say once every 6 months. We've had the Profit Exchange guys on the show many times. Sport Trade CEO Alex Kane joins us. The virtues, the benefits of betting on an exchange, that's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter in today's version. No microphone, Kelly. You're not on the air. We're going to do this whole thing where we introduce Kelly with the newsletter. There you go.
Hey. In today's newsletter, check out a lot of the good college basketball stuff we've got to offer on the website. How about power ratings? How about betting splits? How about Vegas lines? How about you live outside of Vegas and you want the rest of the state-by-state lines? Go to VSiN.com right now.
Oh, good thing that didn't happen during the golf segment. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Binland, live from Bar Canada at the D. We do this every once in a while on the show because we try to be thorough about all things sports betting. And by the way, let me also just interject before that, that with so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. See how I did that? Not smooth at all. Okay, we do this every once in a while here on the show. We talk exchanges. Most people, of course, familiar with the standard sportsbook model, but it is the fortunate state that has exchanges available to them, and we are pleased to introduce for the first time on the show the CEO of Sport Trade, one of the few exchanges that are actually in operation here in this great nation, specifically in New Jersey and Colorado. CEO of Sport Trade, it's Alex Kane, everybody. How you doing, Alex?
What's up, Gil? Thanks so much for having me.
I appreciate you making the time, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Alex, before we talk anything, can I just embarrass you for a second? Can you just remove the hat for a second? Because you have this amazing head of hair that I want. Look at that. Wow.
Okay. Wow.
We're going to start this way.
That is amazing. A beautiful head of red hair. Anyway, okay, I'm sorry, Alex. I apologize for that. Okay, Sport Trade. You obviously probably were, you know, you were familiar with exchanges, Betfair being perhaps the most famous globally, at least in this hemisphere, people would know Betfair. What was it that planted the seed in your head, like, I'm going to do this myself, I'm going to make this happen with Sport Trade?
Yeah. Well, so thanks so much for having me. I want to give a quick shout out to our friend Jack Larkin. He works on our ops team here at Sport Trade. He's a huge fan of the show, and he has been nonstop effort in reaching out to you guys, and I really appreciate you guys giving us the time.
Thank you, Jack.
I wanted to give him a shout out. He's a big listener, and he's, by the way, he's a plus six handicap. So Kelly, I think you and him could talk golf to the cows come home. Maybe you got to get him on to give some Masters predictions.
Yeah, it sounds like he'd smoke me on the course, though. Yeah,
yeah, he would probably. That would be an interesting 18-hole matchup for you guys. Bit Jack Larkin, you know, plus 12.5 strokes, something like that, which would mean you're still shooting about 80, which is pretty good. So my backstory is I actually, in 2016, I was not really a better. My dad, you know, bet with a few friends and he asked me to take a look at the odds board. And I played golf in college and there was a golfer named Kiradech Appibhanrat that was like 1,000 to 1. I told him to bet it. And, you know, Kiradech played really well. He was actually in the second to last group on Saturday. This was 2016, I believe, at Augusta. And of course, didn't win. And I just thought to myself, like, sports betting should be like stock trading. Like, the value of your bet should be a liquid, fair, realizable value at every single moment, which would allow you to instead think about sports betting as like, what do I think is going to happen next? What side do I want to be on? As opposed to like, think about how hard it is for golf matchups. Like Kelly, you just gave a bunch, but like you could be really spot on with your predictions and lose money this week. Like that sort of doesn't seem right. So what Sport Trade is it's a platform that every time you place a bet, that bet has a liquid fair value throughout the lifespan of that bet. It either wins or loses, but of course you can cash some or all of your bet out early.
Okay, and at the beginning of all this, and I remember with both you and Profit Exchange, I remember the big knock from the naysayers was, you'll never have the liquidity to make this work. Was that the biggest obstacle you felt you had at the beginning? And how quickly did you know you could overcome that? And maybe there was another obstacle.
I think it was an obstacle that a lot of folks think is an obstacle. But, you know, going back to the founding sport story of Sport Trade, like I sat there at Drexel, which is where I went to school in Philadelphia. And I was like, I'm going to build this exchange for sports because that's what's going to give your bet this fair liquid value, going back to that Kiradech story with my dad. And I sat there and I was like, crap, I don't know how to build an exchange. Like at that point, I thought an exchange, a stock exchange, was like a bunch of individual mom and pop retail investors trading against each other. And that's just not the case, right? There's market makers and those market makers connect natural buyers and sellers by always offering to both buy and sell every, in our case, bet in a stock exchange metaphor, stock. And if you have great market makers, none of that matters. So it never really mattered to us. But I think to a lot of people, right, I can understand, I can empathize with like, wait a minute, you need enough people, because that's exactly how I thought an exchange worked when I first started. And the fact is that's not really how an exchange works.
How far into this, Alex, did you sort of say to yourself, okay, this is going to work now? Like, I'm sure you had, as any human would, some doubt, right? You know, as a founder of this, you've got to be more positive than everybody, more confident than everybody. But we're all humans. You probably had a seed of doubt. What was the point in all this? How far in were you like, this is absolutely going to work? Now I know it will.
Yeah, I think so. Paul Graham is a startup sort of guru, and he says that founders have to be unrealistically and almost recklessly naive, because like, think about how dumb you have to be to be a founder, right? Like you really have to be just crazy, because yeah. if everyone's telling you that your startup idea is good, like you just haven't talked to real people. And the honest answer to your question is like, we're still finding that out. Like Sport Trade will work when Sport Trade's a profitable business, when Sport Trade's in 10, 15, 20 states, when Sport Trade is the de facto place that a show like you guys talk about to reference the sharpest odds. That's when Sport Trade will be successful. And on the way there, we're just obsessed with creating like the best customer experience possible, the best prices. I mean, prices that quite honestly just eviscerate like a sports book. High limits, like instant in-play betting, like just focusing each day and each week and trying to introduce new products, new markets, get the new states. And then maybe at some point we'll all, you know, look at ourselves and be like, it worked. But I think I would be lying to saying that like I'm sitting here sure that this whole thing is going to work. And, okay. And I think most people that would come on the show would probably, if they're speaking honestly, would say the same thing.
Yeah. By the way, that is said of founders, not only in, obviously, in sports betting exchanges, but all throughout Silicon Valley as well with tech startups. That's obviously the refrain. I have so many questions. Is there a behavior by bettors that surprised you along the way that you could never have anticipated?
I definitely should have anticipated this. When I started Sport Trade, I looked at Betfair and I looked at SmartMarkets and Matchbook and BetDAQ and everything. And I thought to myself, I want to build a sports betting experience that isn't looked at the way that Betfair is looked at. Because when most people, we all look at Betfair, you open it for the first time, you have no idea what you're looking at, right? It's very confusing. And many listeners out there are probably thinking, what is a betting exchange? And I think it's just a very confusing concept if not presented in the right way. And I what I wanted to build was instead a place that was could be easier than sports betting. And I missed the mark on that. We have something called implied probability where every price is reflected as an implied odds chance. So let's say 9-1 is 10% odds, plus 100 is 50% odds, so on and so forth. The break-even probability, as Ed Miller and Matt Davidow talk about in their books. And what surprised me is just how much like pro bettors and big bettors just flock to the exchange because it has the best price and deepest liquidity. And my dream one day is to actually transcend like people looking at Sportradar like, oh, that's where you get the best price, to that's where I go to get an experience that I cannot get anywhere else. So that's, you know, slightly missed the mark initially, but we still have that long-term goal to turn Sportradar into something where a first-time bettor could go, you know what, this makes a lot more sense to me. I'm going to bet Scotty Scheffler at 8% odds this week, and if he birdies the first two hole and he goes to 15% odds, that's when I'm going to cut out and take my profit.
All right, we only have 90 more seconds. I wish we had more time, so I'm just going to ask you sort of the close. Predict this, you know, macro in the future for me. Right now, it's you guys, it's Profit Exchange. How many states do you think realistically you can get into and by when? And do you believe that one day in the future, exchanges will actually be the norm and sports books will be at best on an even playing field with it? That it will be just as front of mind for the American sports bettor as sports books themselves?
I think speaking first from Sportradar, then macro, we hope to be in 5 states. Like the over-under would be 4.5 for us, probably juice slightly to the under. But again, recklessly naive, 5 states for us in 24, probably another 5 in 25. The macro answer question is this. I think that no individual bettor is going to care whether their bet was executed using exchange or not. It doesn't matter. That's not why people use Robinhood, right? Because it's an exchange. It's not even an exchange. I think that that 80 to 90% of the sports betting volume in the 5 years to come will be executed on an exchange without users even knowing that that's the case. Because it's a great price. There's no delay, so on and so forth.
Alex, I so appreciate the time. Please tell Jack Larkin thank you as well for all the kind words and for connecting us. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, guys.
Alex Kane, the CEO of Sportradar, available in New Jersey and Colorado as we speak. By the way, on Twitter, A_Kane47. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten will join us next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Not a registered VSiN.com user yet? Create a free account today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through NCAA Championship Week this week, leading up to Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/Champ Week and get instant VSiN Pro access, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our all-new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. That's our VSiN Pro free preview. Create a free account now at VSiN.com/Champ Week and get full VSiN Pro access from now through Sunday, March 17th, Selection Sunday. That's VSiN.com/Champ Week. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is Jardians commercial. Trip Tepper, I call the Jardians commercial Obesity the Musical. They are literally celebrating our country's nearly 50% obesity epidemic. It's quite bizarre. Primetime, I'm sorry. Oh, no, sorry. Let me read in Kelly Vidlin voice. I'm sorry. Am I crazy, or is it not enough? Or is not enough being made of the Washington football team's purge of the boys' roster and coaches? Seems like the Commies trying to break their streak of no NFC title game in 30 years by stealing guys from the rival that hasn't been there in 28 years themselves. Les Commode. Skins will take the help wherever they can get it. Welcome, Dorrance Armstrong. Doug Tuttle, parlay Scheffler, Shoffley, Hoagie, and Gim, top 20, 43-1. Might be worth a sprinkle.
What could possibly go wrong with that?
I can't think of anything. James Sott.
Especially with all the water. I mean, hey, I like it, though.
Heading out there next week for the madness, indeed, to hit the slot machine. There you go. Welcome, James. Come to this. Come play the slot machine.
Wait, hold on. I think this person's. Oh, they're passed by.
Oh no.
I thought we were going to get a double chili made.
Very exciting. We would have to turn the cameras and everything. Bill Hooker. Hoagie was T3 last year after opening with a 78, third round 62. Johnny Ringo.
Hoagie rolls.
Booze, hair trimmers, and private parts. He has another name for it. And tobacco alternatives. What ad reads can't Gil knock out of the park? Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. And Sports Savant, again, fixated on Jardians. Someone I know in the pharma world explained to me that all these commercials we see are for the purpose of truly getting enough people on the medication so it can be proven to help weight loss and get a secondary FDA approval. Way more money. Boy, that's kind of a horrible way to do this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I would hope that's not true. But
and then good friend Chillionaire. Long shots. That's it. Have a good day, guys. Good luck with all your bets. Thank you. Very kind.
Yeah, appreciate it. Check it out. Download the podcast now.
It's called Long Shot. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke, talking all kinds of sports and whatever's on his mind. And today he comes to us as the official numbers game Royals correspondent. It's the great Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Just like you, I'm a little engrossed in this mystery of where Kate Middleton is this week. I'm sure it's on top of everybody's mind.
Well, let me just ask you this. Jason comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. So, usually, Ladbrokes, Paddy Power, Will Hill, all the British books, which, by the way, you can walk on any street in England and place a bet. I once placed a baseball bet. It took like 30 minutes for them to figure out what was happening, but they gave it to me.
I've always wanted to do that.
They usually do Royals betting on, you know, what's Kate, what's the baby going to be, boy or girl? Are they getting married? By what date? Are they getting divorced? They will take bets on this stuff. I guess it's considered, I used the word gauche earlier, to take bets on this right now. But what is your opinion, in case they do, for those listening globally, what is your opinion here? What's going on?
Well, it's weird because, you know, it wasn't like I was following the story any more than I normally would. I do happen to read Daily Mail once or twice or seven times a day. I'm a big Daily Mail fan. But they tend to keep me updated on this stuff. And it was kind of, I guess, it was like Sunday, the AP put out a kill notice for the photo. That caught my attention. The AP doesn't do that very often, especially with the royal family. And so the Daily Mail started kind of digging into it, and it looked like there'd been some Photoshop manipulation of the photo. And the explanation they're going with is that Kate Middleton in her spare time is a photography hobbyist and was fooling around on Photoshop modifying her pictures, which I mean I guess is totally believable if you just kind of fell out yesterday and this is your first day on the job or anything. But I'm totally confused as to what's going on here. I don't think it's incredibly nefarious or anything. I'm sure there's some sort of logical answer, but this is kind of an example of how a story takes off not because of the initial action, but because of the cover-up. The cover-up has made this much more interesting than it would be otherwise.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We should say we hope that the Princess of Wales, Kelly, is doing fine. We hope that.
Wait, what's the cover-up?
It's probably something really boring.
It probably is. Like
just
maybe
the Photoshop?
Maybe she's having a bad reaction to a surgery. I don't know what it is, but it's... Well, there was a Photoshop, but then, as Jason said, the AP immediately was like, get rid of that photo. It's clearly Photoshopped, right? So... Go ahead, Jason.
It looked like the photo was from her old Vanity Fair cover. So even if she was manipulating Photoshop by herself, this is some really expert level Photoshop manipulation. But again, like, this is the excuse they're using. Like, I wasn't born yesterday, but hey, I'm just going to say, all right, whatever you guys say, I'm just going to keep reading what everyone's saying on Twitter. And it sure isn't. Kate's a photo hobbyist and her Photoshop hobbyist in her spare time.
Yeah. She hasn't been seen, Kelly. That's the point of all this. She hasn't been seen, and so let the speculation begin. Yeah.
And they could just totally show her if they wanted to, you know.
Yeah. It's a global mystery, for God's sake.
But hasn't she commented about this story?
Well, commented is, do you know that she commented? No one's heard her voice.
Who knows who was using her Twitter?
That's right.
A lot of people have Twitters that their press secretaries write all their stuff for him. It's quite common, actually.
Listen, Jason Weingarten is expert in many subjects. We have to add
royal correspondent. Maybe she got abducted by that alien we found in Mexico.
Okay? Oh, what about the one in Vegas? Could be. Jason, beyond the royal mystery, have you added any bets baseball-wise?
Yeah, I got a couple things I've been looking at this week. One thing I wanted to point out is with the Dodgers and the Padres, I kind of get the sense that they're taking this week of games more seriously than a lot of other teams that still might be a week or two behind them, because, you know, they're a week out from their first game of the regular season. So I have my eye on them and their lineups, and I expect, you know, their starters to start going a little longer as they get ready to get on that plane for South Korea. The other thing, speaking of the Padres, it sounds like Jackson Merrill is going to make the opening day roster. They haven't said he's going to be the starting center fielder yet, but it does sound like that's going to be the Padres opening day center fielder. And, you know, if you've been following my rookie of the year stuff, I tend to like guys who have opportunities more than, you know, extreme, you know, upside pedigree. Merrill's a good player, but being the opening day starter, you know, center field is a good jump on a lot of other guys. So I got some Merrill rookie of the year this week at 45-1, 50-1. I even played some 40-1. I think that number is probably going to drop when he's officially announced as the opening day starter.
Yeah, and by the way, what Jason was referring to, the actual official opening to the regular season is next week when the Padres and Dodgers play two games in Seoul, Korea, which I had the blessing of actually visiting this past summer. Beautiful. Absolutely tremendous, tremendous city. 10 million people in Seoul, and they love their baseball. Was actually betting some Korean baseball when I was there, which I know you partake in. Any random leagues you've been betting sports-wise, Jason?
Just mostly basketball. You know, I'll do a lot of, like, first-half, second-half stuff, so... Been a fun week. Last week was a little choppy. This week's been pretty good so far. Yesterday was actually really good. So now I have to kind of pace myself the rest of the week and try not to ruin it. But pretty excited for the Big West Championship this week. I hope Irvine
gets the
auto bid there. I think they're going to be a interesting team to watch in the tournament. From my following of the Big West, this is actually one of the better Irvine teams in a while, possibly could even win a tournament game. But I believe that they're going to win one every year because, you know, I'm a homer.
Yeah. Jason went to UC Irvine. We should point out some people might have missed the connection there. You're an alum. Okay.
Yeah. I've just been doing some mostly basketball stuff this week, a little bit of spring training. We talked about O'Neal Cruz.
Yes.
Still looked pretty good. You know, obviously, spring numbers don't always translate into regular season success, but he really does have that 30-30 upside. So I'm not saying he's, you know, a legitimate MVP contender yet, but I love the upside. And, you know, I think there's still some big numbers out there. So I'm pretty happy with Cruz.
You should be able to find 80-1s at the worst that are still out there. I gave you a shout out at the beginning of the show. I said the one bet that was totally inspired by you was my O'Neal Cruz 100-1. The counter argument to O'Neal Cruz, and I would like you to address it here, would be, yeah, but he plays for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and what if they stink? And to that, you would say,
Shohei Ohtani won two of the last three MVPs playing on teams that, you know, had no business even being in Major League Baseball by the end of the season. So, you know, I think we can throw that out the window at this point.
Okay. Good luck with UC Irvine, baby. Let's get it going. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Should be a fun week. Can't wait. All the basketball all day, every day.
Oh, so great. Our Royals correspondent, everybody. Our Royals correspondent, Jason Weingarten, on top of global mysteries. We'll come back. We'll repeat all of our bets, tennis and golf. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet just $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. St. Joseph's 9, George Mason 2. Let the basketball begin.
Live bet.
You're all over it.
Hey, important for the some of our audience members out there, that promo code for new customers, Welcome North Carolina.
Welcome North Carolina.
Right?
Absolutely.
Start fired up on Monday. Let's go. I've gotten texts from a couple of friends and family members in the state. That's for sure. They're excited.
What is that? What are we up to now? 32 or something like that? What are we up to? 32 in D.C.? Something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, we are... Did someone post... Is somebody going to post a prop on who will be last?
It's a great call.
Utah will be last, right? Utah will never...
I mean, Utah will be never, probably, never.
That's
right?
What I mean by last, yeah. Though, right? Like, will we get past 40? I think we will.
I think so. Yeah.
But there will be holdouts at the end.
There will be. Yeah. There will be.
For various reasons.
I mean, California and all of Florida shifting will be, it's still going to take some time.
Yeah, lobbies are very powerful in both. Yeah.
It will get worked out, though. There's too much money going
around. Too much money.
Like, you can't be sitting on the sidelines right now watching some of these other states and being like, we don't need that.
The California thing was a complete botch.
Yeah.
Complete botch. They ran those dueling prop commercials so often that people just, their reaction was, I hate all of it.
That was California. And then the first time in Florida, because I was still there, the first time in Florida, whenever they put it on the ballot, they twisted it in with the, I think I'm getting this right, they built it in as part of the dog racing one.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, if you wanted dog racing to go away, you were on the side of legalizing sports betting. But you're like, well, what if I want the dog racing to go away, but I want sports betting? You didn't have that option, basically. So it was...
It's all agendas.
Right. I mean, look, I'm not the biggest fan of the Greyhound racing. It's kind of gross to me, so I was kind of glad to see that go. But, like, you wanted the option of sports betting. Didn't get that.
I got a soft spot for Florida. Cut your teeth on Hialeah back in the day, which I've talked about many times. Oh, Florida. What a place.
Hialeah. There's something special about the time in your life when you make your first Hialeah bet.
There really is.
You're live in person Hialeah.
Live? Well, that was the only way to make it back in the day.
I would say the same thing about horse racing, too. Yeah. You know, I'm not that I'm a big horse bettor, but like when you're at the track and you make a bet on the horses, it's a fun feeling.
Hialeah was also your first experience of knowing that something was fixed right before your eyes. You're like, I can see how I lost that one.
It's like betting on the WWE. Yeah. Like, what's going to happen here?
By the way, football, beyond the news of Aaron Rodgers becoming a vice presidential candidate, the reason, you know, that we haven't talked a lot of football today, because we have all week, quite frankly, Monday, Tuesday, and we have certainly last week, but with free agency really kicked in this week, we talked extensively yesterday about Kirk Cousins. We've talked extensively about every move that was made up until yesterday on the show. We run into a couple things here where usually the news comes down right after our show, so it's 22 hours later that we get to talk about something. But honestly, if it doesn't move the betting needle, we'd rather have Alex Kane on from Sportradar to talk about exchanges. That's just how we roll on Numbers Game. But it should be noted, of course, that Derrick Henry, in case you were trapped under a heavy object yesterday, Derrick Henry, I believe I called this right at the end of the show yesterday. I was like, this feels very Baltimore Ravens. I certainly wasn't the only one because he was running out of options.
You were cracking me up because we were texting about that. Yeah. And then, like, I randomly talked to two other people yesterday.
Yeah.
One of them will go unnamed because people know him.
Oh, okay.
Who all claimed the same. Like, was like, yeah, I called that, by the way.
Oh, no. I'm perfectly, perfectly willing to say that's all he had left.
The way that you framed it is the way that it should be framed. Yeah. It was like, how many teams could they have got to?
Where else could he end up? So Derrick Henry to Baltimore is just awesome for the Ravens. When the Gus bus went to the Chargers and Derrick Henry didn't end up in all the other places, that was the obvious fit. And good for Derrick Henry, who now can take a shot at a title.
Absolutely for him. I mean, yes, I know he's getting up there, but he still had a great season last year on a bad team. Like, can you think of a scarier backfield when you're talking about running options with him, Keaton Mitchell, and Lamar Jackson? Like, what?
Don't forget about the great Owen Wright off that practice squad. I'm kidding. Keaton Mitchell sadly got hurt mid-season or towards, you know, the second, right at the beginning of the second half of the season, somewhere in that pocket. But what a talent, what speed Keaton Mitchell has. And yes, What a combo that is.
I mean, like, bust out, like, the 1960s offensive playbooks. Like, let's get some wing T rolling or something like that.
Dude. But what will – I mean, listen, but what will be the case all next season as we approach the playoffs? It's going to be the same refrain. Can the Ravens actually get it done in the playoffs, though?
That will be
what we'll talk about.
That's going to stick with Lamar until he wins one.
Right. Until he gets to a Super Bowl, until he wins one. Okay, repeating the bets. This is a three-dog day in tennis, and I'll check the prices right now. Again, these are all available at VSiN.com/picks, as is the picks of every host and guest on this network. VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. We lost on Dimonor yesterday. Still up over 17 units in matches in tennis this year, calendar year 2024. Just a great start to the season. This is a big day, though. I got three plays. You know, every day I don't know what to expect when the lines come out. If I'll have zero, if I'll have, you know, sometimes earlier in the tournament, I'll have five or six a day, as you know. This late in the tournament, when the round is 16, you don't really expect to have three plays. But I play the numbers, and if there's value, there's value. And I got three today. On the men's side, Grigor Dimitrov, plus 137 against Daniil Medvedev. Yes, Medvedev is a hard court specialist, or best on hard courts, I should say. He's really an all-court player. Best on hard courts, though, but on fast hard courts, and this is not what Indian Wells is, it's a slow hard court. Dimitrov's numbers are great. I think Dimitrov takes him down as a plus 137 dog. I'll check the prices here, Kelly, to see what is still available on these. And then on the ladies' side, well, let me actually answer that question before I go to the ladies' side, because the ladies' side, the underdog prices are just out of control. By the way, Dimitrov now a consensus plus 140, 3 cents better than what I got. Grigor Dimitrov against Medvedev. On the ladies' side, I'm taking Dionne Parry again. Got her at 2-1. She's still in that pocket. She's at plus 193 against Maria Sakkari. Better raw data for Parry. I did mention this in the first segment. She's never beaten a player as highly ranked as Sakkari. For as great as she started the 2024 season, and we have been the beneficiaries betting on her, just won on her as a plus 130 dog in her last match against Alexandrova, I believe it was. She's a $2 dog here, plus 193 right now against Sakkari. I think she gets it done. I think this is her moment to beat a top 20 player. And then the big one, and this is, I mean, it's still plus 377. I just don't understand why this number is as huge as it was. If this were 2-1, maybe I don't play it. If it's in the plus ones, I don't, right? But plus 409 on Emma Navarro is ridiculous. So is plus 377 where you can get it right now against the world number two, Aryna Sabalenka. Navarro, the fourth ranked American player in the world. She's a top 25 player in the world. No way she should be a $4 dog. She is a great player. She is also a steely player. She never gives up. She's always alive in this. So Navarro plus 409 is the biggest of the three dogs. So a plus 137, a 2-1, and a plus 409. Yeah. Let's go.
Not often you come firing with a 4-1.
Not often. Whew. And I do it a lot. I do big dogs all the time.
Yeah.
But plus 409,
that's.
I only remember one longer on this show.
I was going to say, I don't remember. I mean, you always got dogs. You very often have dogs.
Yes.
But it's, you know, more in the Dimitrov.
80% of the time do I have dogs, would you say? I'd have to check.
Yeah, probably.
Like yeah.
I don't know. I always say I think you bet more women than men, too, but you disagree with me on that, I feel
You're probably right about that.
Well, I think you do. Yeah. Like 55-45.
Okay. I'll accept 55-45.
I do have two NBA plays tonight. Smaller for now. I did bet the Hawks on the opener last night. I knew that number was going to move a little bit. At this point, I would stay away until you get clearer injury news on both sides. I did not put it in the website because of that. Jeremy Grant, questionable for Portland, but they have been absolute trash. I don't really see that changing anytime
soon. Garbage.
Although this is probably like only the fifth time I've bet on the Hawks since like November because they just broke my heart again this year. So yeah, I'm feeling them tonight. Pelicans, I'm going back to to them, man. They've just been rolling. I did bet take a position small in the opener at 6.5 last night. It is still that current number. Now, we did get information yesterday that Donovan Mitchell has been upgraded to questionable for the Cavs. So, good chance he does make his return tonight. I'm going to be playing it either way, though. Going to wait to see what his status is. We'll add on. Hopefully, I can beat the move up.
All right. We have done all we can do. Golics are next. Gojo Jr. and Golic. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.